The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Packers 21 touchdowns and 30 goal-to-go situations this season. Out of the shotgun, here's the snap to Love. He sets, he waits, he throws, middle, touchdown, Dontavian Wicks! Love got rid of it just before DeMario Davis hit him from behind. 2-yard touchdown.
Thank you to the Packers Radio Network. It was a whitewash last night, not much of a game, but I asked this question to Andrew Bogish in the audience. Do the Packers have the best quarterback-head coach combination in the NFC? And good morning. Bogish in for Perloff today. What's up, folks?
Maggie, it's good to see you. Have we ever done this before?
Yeah, the summer. Remember we hosted a week of shows together?
That was a long time ago.
Do you remember when I had the one of my all-time controversial opinions?
Oh, NFL load management?
Nope.
Oh, that was that. Yeah, that's. I think that's why I don't remember that summer.
This is when I referred to Noah Lyles, the U.S. sprinter, said that he shouldn't be bragging so much because he only won the race by 0.0001%. Yeah, that one got me in a little bit of trouble. But we talk about football today, and Merry Christmas Eve to everybody. Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur, in my opinion, are the best quarterback and coach combination left in the NFC. I love Dan Campbell. You guys know I love him. But you know, and I know, he can't be trusted. And I know that Jared Goff at times can turn a little bit into a pumpkin. Sam Darnold, here's the thing about Sam. This has been a great story, guys. And by all the counting stats, he's right there as one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But when you look into the numbers and you dive in a little bit to the advanced stuff that I'm not going to bore you with, he looks a lot more middle of the pack. Kevin O'Connell, never seen him win a big game. I don't know if he is proven. And you're going to give me Nick Sirianni and now Jalen Hurts in concussion protocol?
I'm not going to give you that
one. Or Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford may all time be the best that we're looking at now. Two Hall of Famers, potentially. But 37-year-old Matthew Stafford is not as dangerous right now as Jordan Love.
I think the crazy thing is almost all of them are right answers. I think only our boys in Philadelphia might get disqualified because we don't believe in Sirianni. But otherwise, I mean, we've got 2, 3, 4 combinations that are absolute heaters right now. You can have the Packers. It makes a lot of sense. I think if we made this a poll question, Green Bay would win that poll. But maybe in a defensive posture, I'm taking the Lions because I don't think you love Dan Campbell as much as you just said you love Dan Campbell, because I sat outside yesterday, and I know that there's not a direct Dan Campbell thing, but still his operation, and I heard you dismissing the genius that was the stumble touchdown.
Oh, the stumble bum. Get out of here with that stupid play.
This team falling apart, significant injury after significant injury, and Dan Campbell, who I thought was an absolute joke when he first took the job. Like, I fell for, was it the Big Lebowski nameplate thing? Like, that was a gag that everybody thought was real. Like, I thought that had, like, an 18-day shelf life. Mm-hmm. He was going to get old fast, and that was going to be it. Fast forward to now, they're as good as anybody in the sport, and while they're falling apart medically, he just keeps saying all the ridiculous but correct things. And what I love the most about him and Goff is that they're going to do whatever it takes to win.
No matter how dumb it is.
Doesn't matter. He said if they have to win 6-3 or 60-50, they're going to figure out how to win every week with the players they have in uniform that day. And on Sunday, they collectively came up with a fake fall-down touchdown.
you know,
entertainment value alone, they're number one.
Well, all right, entertainment value. Maybe I'll give you that, but what about winning?
You know, they won two on Sunday.
Well, here's the part of this is if you have Dan Campbell up three scores, three in a big game, an NFC championship game, division round, whatever it is, you're telling me you're sitting easy. You don't think there's a way they would cough this up? And when I look at the Green Bay Packers, it's not that, you know, listen, they're the youngest team out of all these ones. So it feels like they're the most inexperienced. Yet I feel like last year's run in the playoffs showed me something. And yeah, they ended up losing to the 49ers, and so did the Lions, and they both ultimately ended up at home and not in the Super Bowl. But man, I was so beyond impressed. And I think the thing about Matt LaFleur is because he had Aaron Rodgers early on, I think Rodgers got a lot of the shine. It's like, wow, look at this gaudy record that he's got. But hey, he's got a future first ballot Hall of Famer in Rodgers. I think he's shown he's even more dangerous with Jordan Love. And this is this thing about this team. They start hitting right at the right time. And it was a whitewash yesterday, of course, but because the Saints like didn't get off the bus. But at the same time, I think coach quarterback combo in the NFC, Green Bay's the best.
Yeah, the Saints did get off the bus. The problem was who got off the bus in Saints gear. I mean, that was it was a shame. I mean, I feel bad for them to a certain extent. I mean, they are just riddled with injuries. It wasn't a deep roster to begin with. So when you take that top layer off, I mean, you could even tell in like Joe Buck and Troy Aikman's hesitation IDing players last night that there were so many unfamiliar names and numbers out there as Spencer Rattler was throwing incompletion after incompletion under pressure. Like, who wasn't blocking for him? Which wide receiver didn't make a catch, or which wide receiver was missed by a throw? That was as useless a game as we've gotten in a long time, which I guess the point is the Packers will get more competition from somebody soon. They've got the Vikings coming up this weekend. They're a heck of a football team. Their only two losses in the last like 2 months, 3 months are to the Lions.
Yep.
Other than that, they're beating the, you know, whatever, or surviving week to week. Christian Watson's knee injury last night's a concern. But I mean, if you're, again, looking for like who's that other team in the NFC, if you love the Lions, if you love the Eagles, the Packers obviously are as good as anybody. And I almost have sympathy for them being in this division where they might end up being in the third place spot with a dozen wins and having to play on the road to start the postseason.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about them going on the road. I'm really not. But I think
because it's, of them, or because who they would be on the road against?
Because of them. I mean, you go into Dallas, do what you did last year. You go into San Francisco and basically take them right down to the wire. I'm not worried about them on the road. And kind of historically, you know, even when Aaron Rodgers going back to a totally different coaching staff and a totally different team, you know, he won his one and only Super Bowl as a wild card team. So I'm for some reason not worried about it. Lambeau as a home field advantage has actually not been as amazing over the last couple years as we were used to, I think, in the, like the Brett Favre era and a little bit with Rodgers early on. 855-212-4227. EJ, can we throw it up on the poll? The best quarterback coach combination in the NFC. Who is it? Because I'll take LaFleur and I will take Jordan Love. On a flip note here, the NFC North, if one of these teams doesn't get to the Super Bowl, what a gigantic disappointment. These teams are amazing. They're great games against each other. The Vikings keep coming up with these last second wins. You got the stumble bum for the Detroit Lions. It's unprecedented creativity. If they all fall flat and somehow the Eagles get to the Super Bowl, the Rams, the Commanders somehow, wouldn't that be an all-time letdown for this division that's been so good?
Maybe it's because I'm in the seat that I am in this morning. And again, somewhere deep down inside of me, I want to be best friends with Andrew Perloff.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't think the Eagles should be in the oh shucks category for making the Super Bowl. With Barkley and Hurts and Big Dom and that defense, I think they deserve to be, oh, we better get one of these four teams, with all due respect to the Commanders or the Rams or anybody or whichever NFC South team survives. Like, we need one of these four heavy hitters to survive. Cinderella's fun. Upsets are great. A rookie quarterback winning multiple road playoff games would be a nice storyline. But I want best on best when we get to February. So I would include the Eagles with those NFC North teams as they should get there, which is not a fun thing for me to say out loud into a microphone.
Listen, as someone who is best friends with Andrew Perloff, I can
Don't
tell
rub
you
it, in.
It is it's pretty good. I mean, I can't go sit courtside with him at the Knicks game like he was last night, posting photos of him somehow coming back with some souvenir basketball.
That's the best part.
I mean, I know. Well, you got to go to that cool Knicks game with him.
Yeah, but crossing names off the list. Still not down to me.
We got a couple miles to go. But I do, listen, I understand what you're saying about the Philadelphia Eagles, and they deserve a lot of respect. I'm sorry. There's been so many things, though, about this team, and they keep winning, and I understand that. But there's been so many things about this team that feel so unserious to me. Like, Barkley is serious. The weapons are serious. The defense looks good. Their head coach, to me, is not serious. The relationships between the quarterback and wide receiver, the way to go down that road. Guys, that wasn't like 2 years ago. It was a month ago or less. This is so stupid that, I don't know, sometimes they come off to me as an unserious team, even though I realize they were just in the Super Bowl.
Oh, I mean, and as a New Yorker, I love when there is dysfunction and when there is failure. I want embarrassment. I want shame. But they also, I said this to you guys within the last month too, if I try to be as objective as possible and take away all of my built-in isms towards Philadelphia and the Eagles, like, this is by itself in a vacuum, it's a fun team. If they were not the Philadelphia Eagles, I would be far more significantly behind them here, because when I watch them up until, and even this, when they lose on Sunday, it's still a ridiculously entertaining game.
Yeah, but watching Kenny Pickett's not entertaining. They really need Jalen Hurts out of this concussion protocol ASAP.
I heard somebody say, it might have been the broadcast. Oh, you know what it was? Whatever game Kevin Harlan had on Sunday, they threw back to the studio for an update on Commanders and Eagles. And when they came back, Harlan said, you know, good teams have to have good backups, and the Eagles have one in Kenny Pickett. And I was like, because it was a Pickett touchdown on the highlight. I'm like, I'm not sure that's an actual statement that you should make. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, he hung in there a little. 855-212-4227. But listen, we're asking you today the best coach combination in the NFC. I'm going with Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur in Green Bay, and Bogus is going with Dan Campbell and Jared Goff. And I guess, I don't know, whatever ridiculous thing they're going to come up with next.
And I can't wait. I cannot wait. In a world of vanilla and bland and playing it safe and repetition and copycatting, these dudes are workshopping skits that they're putting into NFL games. Like, we haven't even talked about the fact, and I think Mina Kim said this yesterday, like, the Bears should have fought the Lions for doing that. Like, you should have been so insulted that you threw down because they thought they could do that against you in your stadium.
Yeah, but see, that's why they picked the perfect opponent, because they know the Bears now, like, it's over.
They still have grown men on defense or on the sideline that should have wanted to kill someone for that.
But who are they taking their cues from? Rookie quarterback? I mean, I love Jalen Johnson, and I don't think that's going to happen. And an interim head coach.
Who was the grad assistant when the year began. That poor guy.
I mean, they knew who they were picking on. This is like when the Chiefs did the ring around the rosy. Who did they do it to? They did it to the Raiders. There was not going to be any kind of repercussions here. They're taking advantage of a wounded animal. And you're talking about how the Lions are workshopping skits. You know, not all skits make it to the final show.
True.
Sometimes a few skits, like SNL style, get cut in the dress rehearsal, and I would have cut Stumblebum.
I just saw Nate Bargatze on some show talking about the original George Washington skit, and he said it almost didn't make the show because it needed the audience, and in all the table reads, it just didn't land. And when they did it almost as a favor in dress rehearsal with the audience, it killed. It was the last thing they did, and they moved it up into the show, and then to like the third spot, which is like the cleanup spot in that rundown.
You know where he said that? On the Rich Eisen Show, which you're going to be able to hear on the Infinity Sports Network starting in the new year. That was a cool announcement that came out last week.
You're a professional.
Well, you know.
I couldn't remember the name. You knew the name and thought of the connection to.
For a second, I thought you were going to say the Maggie and Perloff show. I'm like, how did Bogus not know that it was
we
Maggie
had Nate
asking that question?
On. Of course. Sheesh.
If you guys were planning a surprise for me, after, if I was power ranking guests,
I already know yours.
Book for me. Well,
Aniston, number one.
Oh, see, these are going to be an all male list by accident. I was going to give you Dave Matthews, number one. Eddie Vedder, who turned 60 yesterday. Happy birthday to the legendary Pearl Jam frontman. And I love Nate. Nate might be number three.
You kind of look like him a little. a tiny bit.
Like, early or current? Because the early Nate Bargatze clips, he looks
no, the post Ozempic.
Far worse than me.
The post Ozempic.
Hey.
Religion. But no, if you were describing him to a police sketch artist and they weren't sure who robbed the bank, it could have been you. Could
all
have
right. been Nate Bargatze. I'll take it. He's a handsome guy.
By the way, I said Jennifer Aniston, and all of a sudden Manny popped out from over there. Manny, who can't. Well, we'll get into Manny in a second because Manny's got problems.
He's so many problems.
You look like a member of the Knicks dance team today.
So does EJ. What's going on here? You guys are grown men.
Honestly, are you throwing T-shirts into the crowd this morning and we just didn't know?
Don't hate.
I mean, they beat the Raptors on a Monday in December. You guys are celebrating like they won the championship.
Well, which they're not going to do. Celebrating.
The way I'm dressed is the way I would have dressed if Perloff had taken me to the game.
Which is why you didn't go to the game. You have four layers of Knicks gear on.
It's like you're climbing yes. Mount Everest in Knicks gear. There's so much Knicks stuff on you.
Cold
right
outside.
Now. It is.
It's brick, it as they say around here.
It ain't that cold.
Is the hoodie under your RJ Barrett jersey also a Knicks hoodie?
No, it is
not. Is the T-shirt under your sweatshirt?
No, it's just a white plain T-shirt.
Okay.
Do you want to get down to my underwear? Well,
is it Knicks underwear?
It could be. Knicks socks?
No.
Are your shoes Knicks colors?
Is white a Knicks color?
Yeah.
All right, then yes.
And if you're,
are you wearing Starburys?
No.
he was there last night.
He's at every game now.
This show's already off the rails. I got to be honest. Like, so much is going on today. We thought, okay, Christmas Eve show, no Perloff. All right, like, we're all going to have a good time to sort of ease into the holiday. And it's just been one roadblock after another. Like, the degree of difficulty on this show is way higher than it ever should be.
I feel like mom's yelling at us, guys.
No, not you.
Oh, them?
I'm just telling the audience.
Oh, okay.
Like, if you think we're back here drinking eggnog, for some reason, today's show specifically just got really complicated.
I didn't even get to tell you guys I was doing laundry till midnight last night.
I mean, that's you. That's a you problem.
I had some eggnog yesterday. It was delicious.
We'll unpack all this. I was kind of hoping, hey, easy day. Like, let's get some bagels, you know, we'll talk about football. But no, it can't ever be like that.
I feel bad that I had complete amnesia about our wonderful week in the summer together, thinking that we hadn't done this in a while. I mean, apologize.
To be honest, I've never gotten more internet hate in my life, and you were riding shotgun for it, and you just completely forgot.
I think for you, I've blocked that emotionally because it was so taxing.
There are some not nice headlines about me after that opinion about Olympic hero Noah Lyles. You said that.
You know what?
I'm never getting back in the good graces, but he is an Olympic hero. He is a gold medalist. I said he shouldn't be bragging this much because he won the race by such a small amount. You were here for it. You didn't even say a word. You didn't say a peep.
I think you're walked out of the room.
You're not in the video. You're not even in the zip code.
The views and opinions of Maggie Gray, not necessarily those of Andrew Bogish. Here's the thing, Maggie. A few months removed, you might have been right.
Thank you.
Don't fold. Don't fold once you sit in that chair.
I'm 100% not folding.
I still get at least 5 to 6 hate comments a day off of that.
A day?
A day. Still a day.
Like
per
people
day.
Finding the clip?
No, it's just like, if we were talking about social media, this is my Instagram. I'll show you my Instagram mentions every day. I'm like, ooh, some mentions. Click on, it's like, more hate. And it's a landslide, too. There were a few people who stood up for me right at the moment. They've all turtled up.
Yeah. I did see on the Knicks post about who was at the game last night, which didn't include Perloff, which is why I, like, scrolled through it in case he somehow made the cut on a Monday night in December. Ben Stiller was there, and the first comment was, hey, Ben, go to Canada. Did he say he was going to leave post-election? Is that what that was about?
Oh, I have no idea.
Like, that's... I was like, oh, all right, I guess that's what that means. And the guy used the Canadian flag didn't write Canada. He just put the flag emoji.
Do you understand how tame that would be if someone had just written that to me? I'd march my behind right to the border. That would have been the nicest
Toronto
thing anyone ever said to me in those mentions. Instead, I was called everything under
more
the
like
sun.
More like Fort Erie.
Yeah. 855-212-4227. Manny, I'm going to chalk it up to you maybe being on a ridiculous amount of painkillers. I don't know.
I am not on any painkillers. This is why I look like this.
Get to Manny in a minute. Get to everything. But the question is, as far as coach-quarterback combinations in the NFC, who do you trust the most right now? I'm going with Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love. Bogish thinks it's Dan Campbell and Jared Goff. Do we get a little Kevin O'Connell, Sam Darnold? Anyone going to stump for Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford? But Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts? Dan Quinn? Jaden Daniels? Okay, 855-212-4227. Hit you with a lot there, but it all boils down to the NFC. Coach-quarterback combination. Who's got the best one? I could just sit here and let Mariah take it. Unfortunately, I'm getting paid to talk.
Is she okay? Does she cancel shows?
I mean, what kind of question is that?
Yeah, it's a lot. I'm sorry. Today's poll question, is Mariah Carey okay?
It's like, did something happen? It's like, no.
just
asking if she's all right. Okay, so let's pull back the curtain a little bit on what's going on today. And by the way, we're asking you, which coach-quarterback combination do you think is the most dangerous in the NFC? Obviously, the Packers took care of the Saints last night. I don't think anyone's putting Spencer Rattler and the Darren Rizzi combination is not going to make the poll. But Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur, Dan Campbell, Jared Goff, Kevin O'Connell, and Sam Darnold, and we'll put Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. Although, if you want to write in and say Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay are about to go on a great run, well, give us a call at 855-212-4227. Behind the scenes, things are falling apart. Because, Manny, something happened, you don't know, but you look like Peyton Manning after four neck surgeries. Why can't you turn your head anyway?
For the second straight night, somehow, I slept on my neck, and yesterday it was sore. I did my little exercises here this happens very often.
Okay.
So I'm not, but today's pain is a little bit different.
You're like, Frankenstein. Like, you can't...
Thank you. Yes, thank you. That's very Christmassy of you.
Yeah. So, beyond that, so Manny's playing hurt today. He can't move his neck or his back. He's all locked up. And we found out late yesterday that not only are you running the board, so you're responsible for all the sound that we're hearing and all that, you also have to do updates for us today.
That's right. Yes, yes. I am double dipping today with... I've got a... somehow turn my neck to a completely different screen.
Oh, my goodness.
You're not turning your neck. You're turning your whole body.
Your whole body is turning. By the way, this is...
Yes, my torso, correct.
Is Manny doing updates and also running the board? Let me just tell you what the equivalent of this is. This is the equivalent of you go to someplace and you go, can I speak to the manager? And they go, I am the manager. Like, this is the double duty that you are pulling.
I thought he was going to say you go to a restaurant and then you make the meal.
Same.
It's also kind of my idea, and I can't tell if Manny's mad at me for that.
I think he's a bum.
Because I was part of the...
Thanks.
There was a scheduling snafu discovered yesterday that had been discussed, but not unsnafued before yesterday. Mm. So at the last minute yesterday, we saw that there was still an issue with today's schedule.
Are you blaming Pete?
I am not. If I was blaming Pete, I would have already said his name.
I was going to say, our snafu to unsnafu ratio around here is easily like 3-1.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't hold back, be respectful if it was Pete. I would just say right away, Pete Bellotti did this. Pete Bellotti did not do this, unfortunately, for content purposes. Somebody else did. I think he works for Pete.
I'm out of touch.
So I was just trying to, I guess I could have volunteered to do both myself, but that was not going to happen. So I was spitballing ideas. And I knew that the list of available anchors was short because everybody's already working, all the fill-in part-time guys.
Yeah, and it's a holiday.
Right. So I said, what if we got a new board up and Manny does the update shift? And bells rang, lights went off, ding, 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 ding. And here we are today. Manny's back's not working. His neck's not working. There's another angry anchor out in the newsroom because he's also getting screwed by this after our show.
Yeah, you can say it. CeeLo.
CeeLo's not. He's not happy.
Friend of the show.
Yeah. CeeLo's really the loser in this breakdown, by the way.
Yeah.
As much as Manny might be physically deteriorating in front of our eyes, like, CeeLo's the one that's getting like stuck here for an extra 90 minutes.
Also, the fact that Manny is easily the youngest person on our show, but obviously dealing with the most harrowing...
I am the most broken.
...physical issues is also feels not fair. We'll get to Manny's update because he's running the board and doing updates for us. So we're going to make the degree of difficulty on this as high as humanly possible just for our own entertainment. Love you, Manny. First, though, Alan in Toronto...
Pepper the new guy.
We're asking what's the best quarterback coach combination in the NFC. Alan, who is it?
Kevin McConnell and Sam Darnold. Kevin, judging by his comments, he's reportedly enchanted with Sam, and he's in absolutely no hurry to bring in J.J. McCarthy in spite of his four-year, $22 million contract signing.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're eagerly anticipating his debut, but it'll have to wait. And well, Sam's
he's hurt.
Don't lie. Look at 3,776 yards. He's gonna easily pass the 4,000 yard mark. 67.2% completion rate.
Yeah.
32 TDs, and the Vikings are 13-2. That doesn't lie either.
Yeah, you know the thing is though.
November 24th at Soldier Field.
They Alan, here's miracles. The thing
that
though.
That was a miracle of biblical proportions. That last gasp touchdown.
Amen.
So I'm going with Kevin O'Connell. He's using very good judgment as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you know, Alan, he's making the best of what looked like a dire situation, and thank you for the call before the season started, which is why the Vikings win total was 6.5. And they've obviously doubled that with now sitting at 13 wins. Listen, McConnell's the first Viking coach I saw to win 13 win seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in some rarefied air. But to be honest, the counting stats with Sam Darnold are very good. Alan just had all of them for you. But you look a little bit deeper into some of the things that really smart football people use to evaluate quarterbacks. There's something called EPA per dropback and other things. And he actually is a little more middle of the pack. Listen, Sam's having a great season, but let's not discount. Sam Darnold has the best receiver in the National Football League. He's got an incredible second option. That's obviously Justin Jefferson. Jordan Addison. He's got TJ Hockenson. He has an offensive line that even when their left tackle got hurt, they replaced him immediately. They've got a defense where the defense coordinator should be a head coach in this league. I mean, he's walking into a really great situation. Doesn't mean he's not making the most of it, but it's not like they're asking Darnold to elevate this roster. This roster is not bad. And the 6.5 win total, I think, was really based on Vegas thinking they were going to be playing with a rookie quarterback
right.
who didn't throw the ball at Michigan.
It is one, and we're going to do, I think, more on this morning, too. But it's one of the more fascinating situations because we're trying to figure out what's real and what's not and what's specific to what is Sam Darnold without Kevin O'Connell, without all of these games indoors, without all the teammates that you just laid out. Like, it does, at the end of the day, come down to the fact that he still has to make the reads and make the throws, and he is doing that. But he also appears to be in the perfect situation for him. And I think the thought that, like, this doesn't translate outside of this marriage is what, whether that's science or not, like holds you back on really loving Darnold. And even I think what the Vikings might be when we get to January if they're not playing every single game in their place.
Well, it's the big question. Do you let him out of the building or not? And that's going to be the major thing that the Vikings are going to be asking themselves. You got McCarthy, he's got the knee injury and then had to get it re-scoped. So, you know, we'll see what the update is on his knee. But the question is, can you afford to let Sam Darnold out of the building? Listen, if they go to the Super Bowl, then the answer's clear. But anything short of that, there is a question to be asked. Let's go to D, who's our big-time Eagles fan and Ducks fan in Portland. Hey, D, who's the best quarterback-coach combination in the NFC?
Good morning, guys. I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. I know a lot of people want to give some ish about Nick Sirianni, but last time I checked, we made the Super Bowl. Have any of those other teams made that? Packers, Vikings, Lions, Buccaneers?
Oh, the Rams won the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, Rams. Hey, they're right up there, too. But we got the number one defense. We got a really good offense. You guys got to stop the run. You guys got to stop the pass. Good luck with that. I know yesterday I called and, you know, didn't sound good, but it's just one game. Yeah, did it probably kick us out of the, you know, number one seed? Yeah. But it goes through the Eagles. It's always been going through the Eagles. We've always been good. You'll see. When we have it all locked in, good luck.
You know, Dee, I would have liked...
One more thing before I get off.
Yeah, go ahead.
EJ and the other person, I can't remember his name, but Nick, yo, what is up with Bridges, man? I have him on my fantasy league. He's selling me right now, man.
Hey, D, I'm sorry, we can't open this Pandora's box.
Let the other guy answer this.
No.
Hey, you. Boy.
Manny is going to be pulling double duty all day because he's running our board and he's going to be doing updates for us.
Are you also making weight for a fight? Why do you have 5 layers of clothing on and a ski cap? We're inside, man. Give yourself a break. You sweating off 10 pounds today?
This is what drip looks like, all right? Stop. Just because
sweat
you don't
drips?
Just because you don't have any doesn't mean you should come after me, okay?
Whatever, if that's drip, I don't want drip.
Well,
This is what drip looks like. Get a clue, old man. Remember, who was the caller who thought that Bogish was like 60? There was somebody who thought he was really old.
It was me.
No, and he keeps doing it. It's the same person because they called again and thought Bogish was old again. Big Friendly definitely thinks Bogish is old.
Oh, it's Big Friendly.
But
yeah.
I think it's someone else, too.
I thought somebody was like, you know, listen, I remember watching Joe Namath win that Super Bowl in 1969. I mean, I'm younger than Bogish. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Let me go gum my breakfast. I'll be right back, guys.
There's definitely two callers. There's a Big Friendly always thinks Bogish is really old, and there's a second person who keeps saying that Bogish is old, which is hilarious.
And I know I'm like lame and not cool, and I probably do skew older, but Perloff is all of those things more than I am.
You'll never find out how old Perloff is. Perloff's age is a tightly guarded state secret.
You know,
I have no idea.
You know how many people who have asked me that, by the way?
I have no idea how old Perloff is. In my mind, he's like 38.
I think almost every person when I work, since I started working on the show, when they've asked me about the show, eventually have asked me, hey, how old is Perloff? And I'm like, I don't know.
When I forgot his birthday, okay? Like, full disclosure, one of my best friends totally forgot, totally blanked on his birthday. And so a couple weeks later, I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. He's like, if you ever bring up my birthday again, we're not going to, like, I'm never going to speak to you. I was like, all right.
Well, he's also definitely afraid of, like, young reporters as young as 12, like that girl that interviewed Mike Tyson or that other guy that interviewed Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
He's also afraid that they're the biggest threat to his position right now, too.
Everyone's coming for Perloff.
Yeah. Even if you're not, even if you're 9 years old, you are a threat to Perloff. Yeah.
And he also has...
It's amazing. A kid reporter, Perloff would stuff in a locker. Never let them out.
He's also done so many things and had so many jobs. He's hard to put a timeline on.
He's
lived a lot. So like you'd think, but a lot of those things were like overlapping. Like I even said to him one day, like I don't know the Sports Illustrated like Dan Patrick like
same time.
Yeah, like I didn't realize that like that they were concurrent. So like he could be 60, he could be 29, he could be 11. I don't know.
Sometimes he's all those things. Titan is in the chat saying, I pen Bogish at 52. For the record, are you 52 years old?
I mean, I'm going to be 45 in February, so I mean, I basically am 52, but am I that terrible?
No, listen, being 52 is not terrible. There's nothing about that. It's just your ability to play the straight man, which is not a far stretch for you, I think, lends it to be.
Thanks.
Aren't you the straight man?
I guess. I think my problem is, if this was always the four of us, and everyone thought I was clearly the oldest of this group, I can accept that. I can't accept people thinking that somehow I'm older than Perloff
by like 20 years.
That one I can't deal with. I just can't. I like the side by side, we're very similar, which is why we should be best friends. Yeah. But he's clearly older than me. Clearly.
He's gonna be the dad bod gods.
I'm following his dad bod. He had it first because he's older. He better be older.
We have no idea. I don't know. He's like been in a time capsule.
How old is his oldest daughter? 14?
I think Lucy's only, she might be 13, 13 or 14.
Okay.
She's so a freshman in high school.
So he's at least like 17.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was a teen dad. All right, Manny, you know what? We're going to pause on this for a second because we've taken too long. Manny's going to run the board today and do updates. And by the way, if these updates aren't A+, it's going to be your ass.
And at least 6 minutes long. So take your time. That's why we're breaking now. So you have your full 6 minute allotment on the other side.
I'm going to be talking real slow then.
Again, not the painkillers. Shockingly, you're not on any. That's the upset of the morning.
EJ just gave me some, so don't worry. Let them kick in about half an hour.
Fantastic. Nothing like coffee and painkillers. The Maggie and Perloff Show. Bogus shit sitting in for the ageless wonder Andrew Perloff today. Don't move. We got a lot more, including some funny comments from Aaron Rodgers yesterday. Welcome back. Merry Christmas, everybody. Christmas Eve. Magic in the air. Or just the painkillers the man he's on because he hurt his back yesterday and neck. Okay, Manny playing hurt. He's also going to be doing updates for us and running the board because of a scheduling snafu that happened. We will get to Aaron Rodgers' comments on his future in just a moment. But Manny, what do you have?
All right, guys, these headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with Life Electronic Device and Pet Health Insurance. It took 240 games, but the NFL has pitched its first shutout.
Shotgun snap, Rattler, four-man rush. He gets away from one. He throws in duress. It's a deflected ball, a pass down the middle. It's incomplete. On downs, the Packers will get it, and they're going to shut out the New Orleans Saints for the season's first shutout in the NFL. This year, 34-0 Green Bay. Packers will take over, and the Saints are going to get shut out at Lambeau Field tonight.
The sweet, sweet tones of Kevin Harlan on Westwood won 3 sacks for the Packers last night, who clinch a playoff berth for a second straight year. They beat the Saints 34-0. Head coach Matt LaFleur on the defensive line.
That's obviously going to be critical moving forward. Anytime that you can get pass rush with your front four and allows you to play coverage, it makes it extremely difficult on the offense. So hopefully we can continue to build upon that. I think our D-line has gotten better as the season's progressed, as have many positions.
But not everything is sunshine and roses on the corner of South Oneida and Lombardi. Wide receiver Christian Watson, he injured his knee in the second quarter. He did come back to play 4 snaps in the third, but he would remain anchored to the sideline for the rest of the night. Matt LaFleur did say there is some concern with Watson. Tests to be done today.
You use Google Maps in this update?
No, Manny, Google Maps. I had an internship in Green Bay, Wisconsin, brother. I know Wisconsin like the back of my hand.
You were interning for the Packers, right?
No, for the Green Bay Booyah, who are now the Green Bay Rockers, a team in the Northwoods League.
They're the Green Bay Booyah?
I still don't know what sport that is.
Couldn't be further away from the Packers.
That's baseball.
Oh, it's baseball. Yeah. You said 3 names. It's like, is this paddle tennis? What is this?
Where do the Green Bay Booyah play?
They play, well, again, they've renamed to
the Rockers.
To the Rockers. Yeah. They play at Capital Credit Union Park.
There it is. You know who's an alumni of the Northwoods League? Somebody you know. Somebody was here yesterday?
I think he was on the show last week as well.
Oh, Harold Reynolds?
No.
Somebody who works here, yeah.
Our employee.
Mm-hmm.
Was a minor league baseball player?
No, independent league. College.
I mean, BT?
Hey-o!
Oh, Pat Boyle?
Yeah.
Look at Patty.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pat Boyle, I think, played for the Thunder Bay Border Cats, if I'm not mistaken.
You know, Pat Boyle, who's going to be doing afternoon show on WFAN today, so check that out if you're into New York sports.
I have dementia.
Pat would have been a very funny professional athlete because he can't help but be himself. Like, I think he would have been a very polarizing figure because he would have weighed in on everything, which is kind of our jobs now.
I don't wear women's perfume.
Pat would have been a good time to cover as a professional athlete.
Yeah.
More than any person probably in this building.
Until he donned his weird, like, sexual offender glasses that he wears now that everybody gives him crap for.
Yeah, which I think is hilarious. Like, everyone's like, oh, Pat, he looks so funny with these, like, odd glasses on. I'm like, Pat's just kind of odd. Like, we didn't need the glasses, guys. But that's what makes Pat great. He's not an offender, but not like that.
Yeah, yeah, allegedly.
Pat's just a little bit of a different cat. He would have been a great pro athlete.
Yeah, he would have been the fan favorite. He would have been a Kevin Millar type.
Totally.
Like a guy in the locker room everybody loves, eating chicken in the back. Like,
and beer. Would he be a backup quarterback that Perloff had a crush on?
I think Pat Boyle feels a little more like linebacker to me. He's not finesse. I think Pat's power. Like, he's knocking people out.
Like knucklehead, like run through a wall kind of guy.
Like Brian Cushing or something like that.
Okay.
Yucks, yeah.
You know?
He did talk trash to teenagers at a Boomer Esiason charity flag football game. So you're right. I forgot about that.
Exactly.
Smack talk New Jersey high schoolers.
It's not Gronk necessarily. It's not like that. It's a little more intense than Gronk. But
he'd be friends with Gronk.
Totally.
He'd be one of these guys who's a friend of Gronk.
He'd be running from the cops with Gronk at the University of Arizona for sure.
Playing intramural ice hockey.
In the middle of the desert. Makes a ton of sense. I'm sorry, Manny, back to you.
Well, in the NBA last night, it was a wild night in South Philly.
And he just fell down again. And Drummond just got ejected for pushing down Wembanyama.
Well, that was on FanDuel Sports Network in San Antonio. Pushing is a stretch. The Sixers, they would challenge that foul called by referee Jenna Schroeder against Wembanyama on an inbound. It was challenged by Nick Nurse and the Sixers. The foul was overturned, deeming that Wemby flopped, and Drummond was unejected from the ball game. Schroeder,
Unsnafu'd, if you would.
Yeah, unlike around here.
Right.
Schroeder, she offered an apology on the on the court in the moment, sort of. So, yeah, she messed up. So later in the contest, it's not over for Jenna. She had a long night. Later in the contest, Schroeder, she called an offensive foul on Joel Embiid. He didn't agree. He had some choice words that she didn't like, so she injected Joel Embiid. Embiid then charged that
she
Schroeder.
She injected him,
I heard
or
that
ejected
too.
Him?
Ejected him.
She held him down, got the tourniquet on there.
Threw him out. She threw him out is what I wanted to say.
Sorry, Manny, you're playing hurt. You're doing great.
Yeah, this is very painful. Embiid,
hey, look over here real quick. Sorry.
Manny can't turn his head because his neck and back are all locked up.
Embiid would charge at Schroeder a few times before being restrained by teammates and coaches. No overturning Embiid's injection. The Sixers.
Injection?
Will you shut up? I'm trying to read. The Sixers, they get the win after all of this and all the interrupting. 111-106 is the final score. Sixers, they get the win over the Spurs. Five players scored in double digits for Philly. Tyrese Maxey, 32 points, 10 rebounds. Wembanyama, 26 points, 9 rebounds, 8 blocks in the loss. Now to the ice, and now this is going to hurt both of us, Bogus, more than my neck. The New Jersey Devils, they're atop the Eastern Conference this morning after a 5-0 win against the Rangers. There's a cringe from Bogus as he scratches at his neck as well.
I want to thank the Devils for reminding me of something, like working with Maggie, that I've blocked out, that a few years ago in the draft where the Devils had the first pick and the Rangers had the second,
yes,
and the Devils took Jack Hughes first,
right,
and the Rangers fans cheered at a draft party, at a watch party, because that was going to allow them to take Kaapo Kakko. And that has not worked out well.
And yeah, because Kakko now plays for the
yes,
yeah, Kaapo Kakko.
He got injected last night. he's had to change teams because he hasn't been good. And Jack Hughes has become one of the best players on the planet.
And Kakko scored the other day for the Kraken.
I'm sure he did.
Well, it's not that awful for Rangers fans because the New York Islanders, they lost a game yesterday to the Buffalo Sabres. The Sabres, 7-1 winners over the Islanders. Buffalo's 13-game losing streak is over. Back to you guys.
Wow, thank goodness. I've been waiting for that one to end.
Okay, all right.
Did the Sabres have any effect on you as a kid? Did you care at all?
No. I'm a massive Bills fan, but I actually grew up a Ranger fan, like you guys, because the TV network that carried the Rangers was available in my area.
So you had to watch Ranger games there, but we can't watch Sabres games down here?
Yeah, I mean, Bogus, it was the 90s. So you were watching whatever was on TV.
I just thought they had, like, rules about this. That, like, because the Sabres games show up on my DirecTV, but then they're blacked out. Like, the channel exists.
Yep.
Got it. No, I mean, who can figure out sports media these days? It's impossible.
We just felt bad for you up there. We'll give you the Rangers.
Yeah, thank you. Just throw them in the mix. all right. There you go. You know, I want to go back to this Embiid thing quickly. We'll get to Aaron Rodgers at the top of the hour because what he said was hilarious. But the Embiid thing and him getting kicked out of the game last night. Now, obviously, that referee had a bad night, right? She admitted it, that she's like, I messed up. She thought that Drummond had, you know, basically given a forearm shiver to Wemby, but it looked like Wembanyama actually just flopped. Listen, is this not why you have replay? I get it's fun to dunk on referees, male or female, doesn't matter in this case, but I get it. Isn't this exactly what you need the video review for? She couldn't see it. It looked like it was genuine. It turned out to be a flop. So you kind of unejected Andre Drummond and, you know, he's come back out through the tunnel. It's a unique visual, but that's not wrong. That's actually getting the call right. If they had kept him ejected when this was clearly a flop, that would have been the real mistake.
Yeah, and she was an adult about it. She walked over and said, I bleeped up, my bad, and everything was fine until Embiid tried to attack her.
And here's the thing, though. Embiid, like, just that to also seem very run-of-the-mill to me. I feel like I'm seeing a lot more on this because I think it's because it's a woman and there's this visual of Embiid kind of screaming at this small blonde lady. But there, to me, there's nothing there. Like, it would look just as weird, not just as weird, but he could scream at a shorter man.
Right.
And it would be the same exact thing.
Yeah, I had that thought, though. Like, there's just something, the optic is just weird. And like it's, and we're just not used to it still. Because I think there's only, are there less than 10 female referees and officials between the NBA and NFL?
Probably, I mean, close to that number.
Yeah. So it's just, we don't see it often. And it just, I think naturally, like, oh, don't yell at her. But like, that's the job now.
It's the job. And right. And listen, she's got her recourse, which is kicking him out of the game.
She gave him the second tech right in his chin, which is great. She just left her hands in the team, like right at his face.
Also, I mean, come on, Embiid. This guy gets no sympathy from me at all. He's one of the biggest floppers. He's always on the ground. It's crazy. All right, come back. Aaron Rodgers said something kooky.